Friday. V minus 90. Private jet, Milan to Denver. More than anger, more than resentment, and more than indignation, the overwhelming emotion in Dan McCarthy's mind was relief. Having watched Emma being roughly dragged away by a then mysterious stranger just hours earlier, he counted his lucky stars as he now watched her sleeping soundly in Timo Fiore's private jet. They had flown this exact route once before, with Clark, immediately after the sphere had been found off Miramar to seal the deal for a hoax Dan had fallen for and inadvertently sold to the rest of the world. The lie had long since come true, what with Dan ultimately admitting he had been duped by Richard Walker, but later being contacted by the real messengers. Best of all, those real messengers' well-timed public arrival on contact day had gone on to convince the world beyond any doubt that he was telling the truth and had never deliberately misled anyone. It all felt so long ago. Or, at least it had. Until his dreamlike vision of President Slater being taken hostage, thoughts of Kerguelen and Miramar and Lolo were beginning to feel like distant memories. There was the hostile attention from idiotic Geosovs and the far more common adoration from everyone else, but in Dan's internal and domestic lives, at least, things had been returning to something approaching normality. But the vision changed everything, and even though the resultant run-in with shadowy federal agents left a sour taste in Dan's mouth, that vision was all he could think about. That the Geosovs would try something on the contact day anniversary came as no surprise, particularly when Godfrey had opted to formally launch the Global Contact Commission on that very day. Dan didn't want President Slater to get hurt, out of basic human compassion, as well as a rational fear of the chaos that would follow the worst-case scenario of her political assassination, and he was relieved to have been able to warn her in time. What he was even more relieved by, however, was that the messengers had been able to warn him in time. His fears over the continued viability of whatever it was in his neck that made him receptive to the messengers' interventions had been eased, despite his concerns over the invasiveness of his monthly medical tests having been proven well-founded with the revelation that government doctors had indeed planted a chip of their own under his skin. Along with Dan's relief that the messengers had managed to contact him, sat the perhaps even greater relief that they had wanted to. They were still keeping an eye on Earth, quite clearly, and were still willing to intervene when the likely consequences of not doing so were deemed sufficiently destabilizing. In human political terms, it didn't get much more destabilizing than the potential assassination of a sitting U.S. president, and the timing would have amplified things even further. A huge part of Dan wanted to see the messengers again and ask them the million questions that still filled his mind, but the rational part of his brain reminded him that any such meeting would only come as a result of a necessary intervention, and since any earthly development that might provoke another intervention would likely be anything but positive, he considered it unwise to wish too hard that he would see his extraterrestrial friends in the flesh again anytime soon. A phone call came in from Clark well into the flight, so much later than expected that Dan initially didn't understand why he sounded so concerned. As soon as Clark mentioned the emergency tracker showing Dan's location at the time of its activation as a military complex in Milan, the memory came back. Dan downplayed the issue for now. Clark would hear everything, of course, but there was no sense in angering him with it yet. An equal consideration in Dan's mind was that this had to stay quiet for the sake of national security and international stability, and that the validity of these kinds of abstract reasons wouldn't be as easy to impress upon Clark over the phone as they would be in person. When Clark asked what the hell Dan had been doing at a military complex in the middle of the night, all Dan could do was say it was a long story he would tell when he got home, but that there was nothing to worry about in the meantime. He likewise explained that the decision to come home early hadn't been made because of any major problem, but because of something that was happening in Buenos Aires that he didn't want to talk about right now. When Clark pushed for details, Dan changed the subject by lamenting how useless Clark would have been if there had been something to worry about, since it had taken him several hours to look at his damn phone and see the emergency location update. Dan ended the call by asking how Tara was, knowing she'd been going through a rough time, but having been out of touch with the world for several days. Clark said she was sound asleep at home and doing fine. He neglected to mention that he was there too, watching late-night TV on the couch while she slept in the bedroom. Keeping the full story from Clark, for now, brought into Dan's focus the broader point that the whole episode would be kept quiet by the countless people who were going to need to know about it. Frank Livingston and his young colleagues in Italy already knew about the contact event, while all of the security staff involved in the full sweep at the Buenos Aires Gravison would clearly have to know what they were looking for, if not necessarily why. The news of a foiled hostage-taking plot against President Slater was never going to see the light of day, for obvious reasons, however, much less the news of direct alien involvement in its foiling. Dan, contemplative in his high-altitude solitude while Emma caught up on some sleep, considered that this point confirmed his old, deeply held belief once and for all. The government really could have covered up alien contact or visitation had they found out about it before he broke the story. After all, he thought, that's exactly what they're doing now.